Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Hello, neighbor, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your contractor, Memphis, at DFF Memphis. And today, we're going to be talking to a guy named Justin. This guy is a newer Dynasty player. Got a little redraft experience under his belt, dipping a toe in the wild world of Dynasty, looking forward to helping him. This one's a new one. This is a startup with a rookie draft. Not a lot of big moves, but just a good conversation with a good guy. Now, I'm cutting this open after Justin and I had our conversation. And there's a little technical difficulty on here. He was in the middle of, I believe, some weather out in the west, western part of the United States, and he's got a very special co-host with him in the car as he's trying to be dad. So just a good overall dude. I'm glad that Justin and I made the time to talk about his lineup, and I'm looking forward to it. Just some other things to cover with you guys. If you're looking for some more Dynasty pods, and I hope that you are, you're already in a great spot. The Dynasty Happy Hour is full of some great people, man. Whether it's Bill Latin, whether it's the guys at the Devi Show on top of Bill, Tyler, Doug, and Tim on the flagship, just whatever. Everybody here at the Dynasty Happy Hour is here to help you. And then my other podcast, the Dynasty Warzone. You can find that on every podcast platform. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, you name it. We're out there, Spotify. We're doing it. And I know a lot of you guys are tuning in, so I wanted to make sure I take a minute and say thank you. Got a big week of shows over there at the Dynasty Warzone. On Wednesday, my co-host Jerry and I are breaking down six guys that we are not trading. Now, Jerry's a little bit looser with his requirements, and he's got to watch Jerry. He's a little loose. Good dude, but a little wacky. But we have six guys that we're not trading, and for me, there were no running backs. I'll put all the running backs on the table. Yeah, I'm that guy. But I've got a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a tight end that we need to talk about. Jerry's got a couple of running backs and a wide receiver in there. It's definitely worth a listen. That's the Wednesday edition of the Dynasty Warzone. And then today, the same day this came out, if you're looking for something to listen to, maybe you're listening to this in the car on your way to work. Man, if you're looking for something on the way home, today over at the Dynasty Warzone feed, we dropped what we're calling the three-team parlay. Now, the three-team parlay is going to be our version of team-by-team breakdowns. No, we're not going by AFC North or NFC West or the AFC South. That's what everybody else does. What we're doing is we're doing three teams, hence the name three-team parlay, and we're taking a team from the top 11 in scoring last year, a team in the bottom 11 in scoring last year, and then a team in the middle, that middle 10. So on this week's show, we happen to have Kyle August of Redshirts Fantasy Football, as well as the Fantasy Football Fellas. He stops by with us to break down the Detroit Lions. That was the team in the middle. The Dallas Cowboys, that was the team in the top 11 scoring offenses. And then the Miami Dolphins, who was one of the least scoring teams last year. We go through, we're talking about who's new, who left, the offense in general, coaching changes. We're covering stock up, stock down, guys we like, guys we don't. We give you some reasons why. And I'll give you a quick spoiler to make you want to go download this Friday's edition of the Dynasty Warzone. CeeDee Lamb is my prediction for the Dallas Cowboy wide receiver that scores the most fantasy points in 2020. All right, I'll get into the body of this show with Justin. Just one last couple of things. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at DFF Memphis. And even though this is the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, whatever you're listening to, hit the pause button. If you're not driving, want you to be safe, want you to get where you're going safely. But when you get there, go into the rating and review section. I know it doesn't matter, iTunes, whatever you're listening on, and give them a 5-star. That is how you help podcasts grow. We're here to help you, whether it's the contractor or any of the other pods here at the Dynasty Happy Hour. That's how you help us, is give us those 5 stars. We certainly appreciate it. You can follow me on Instagram at Memphis185. You can follow me on Instagram at Dynasty Warzone, on Twitter at DFF Memphis, and on Instagram at Dynasty Warzone. Those are all 4 handles I have some access to. And if you're looking to be on the contractor, yeah, I know it's late May, but we're booked up through about middle of July. Always willing to try to make room for more. And if I can't get you on in the immediate future, more than happy to answer a question or two, jump in those DMs, and we'll do our best to help you out. Also, this was a big hit last week. If you're not into social media, Twitter, Instagram, what have you, you can email me. You can send me an email at dynastywarzone@gmail.com. Again, it's dynastywarzone@gmail.com. Send me an email. Had a couple last week, and thing that made me the most proud was the person who sent it said, "Man, I wasn't expecting a response that quick." Guys, when I say I'm here to make the world a better place for fantasy football, I sure as the hell mean it. But anyway, I filibustered enough. It's time to go get Justin. It's time to talk about his lineup. Let's go get this man. All right, joining me on the line is Justin. Justin is going to share with us tonight his 12-team Superflex tight end premium half-point PPR league. A little bit of an interesting scoring format. We'll let Justin break all that down. The activity of this league, he would say, moderate. During draft season, it's very heavy. But since it's slowed down, and I got news for Justin and all you listeners, that's not just his league. I'm in some of the most active leagues around. Everybody's taking a break. Whether you've had one rookie draft or 10, everybody's just looking for a minute to catch their breath and collect themselves and get ready for the regular season. Is there a group chat, and how active? Yes, there's a group chat. And he would say there's 1 or 2 guys always talking. So about a fourth of the league are in there actively getting after it. Why are you looking for the help of a roster contractor? And he highlighted he's got a year or 2 of experience and needs some help. He would say he's wanting to learn more. And here's what I will tell you, whether I can get you on the show or not, or you're just listening to get ideas, kudos to Justin and anybody who asks for help, whether it's with your dynasty roster, your diet, your boss at work. There's nothing wrong with getting help. There's nothing wrong with self-help. There's nothing wrong with YouTube searches. There's nothing wrong with podcast. Man, I commend anybody who can put their hand in the air and say, "Hey, yep, give me some help," because that takes courage. What shape is your roster going into 2020? He's somewhere between a piece or 2 away from contending and maybe even a win now. This is a good roster. Borderline, could use maybe another part or 2. What are your short-term and long-term goals? Short-term, would like to win his first championship. That's what we're here for. Long-term, after he's won 1 or 2, he would like to use this as an experimental league so that he can try some other different kinds of leagues out there and become a big-time dynasty player. But enough about all that. Let's hear it from the man himself. His name is Justin. Justin, welcome to the contractor.
Well, thank you for having me, Memphis. It's nice to be here.
No problem, man. And he wasn't a Patreon before, but Justin is now one of our newest Patreons. How are you enjoying the experience with the Dynasty Warzone Patreon?
It's been fun having all the guys to talk to, bounce ideas off,
like I said, only my first full year into this, so definitely want to learn more. So having all the guys there has been really helpful.
Yeah, and before we switch over to this roster, one of the things that came up today, so one of our other newer Patreons, Jesse, he was, I don't want to say being combative, but he was just providing a different perspective of a player. I think it was Kelvin Harmon. Yes, we get that granular in the Dynasty Warzone Patreon. And he was like, I hope I'm not offending anybody or being disrespectful by, you know, pushing my point. And I immediately, you know, jumped in and called a timeout. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what we want. We don't want an echo chamber. We don't want it to be my voice or Jerry, my co-host's voice, or Justin's voice, or anyone's voice. We want it to be our collective bounce and ideas, because that's how we grow. I don't necessarily have to agree with his take for me to learn from it, because I got to ask myself, well, why does he like Kelvin Harmon so much? Am I missing something? Do I need to take 10 minutes and go back and review some stats or some film? But that's what it's all about. So it's been great having you. You've been very active. And how do you like the welcome gift? Did you like the welcome gift thing?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Nice way to get everyone involved and see names and everything.
So for those that don't get what we're talking about, a little inside baseball. When we welcome a new Patreon to the group chat, every current member that's active in the group chat has their own signature welcome gift to welcome new Patreons. Now, mine's always and always will be John McClane from the world-famous Christmas movie Die Hard, where he throws someone out the window and he says, welcome to the party, pal, as well as many others, but I don't want to go too deep into the Patreon. I really want to get neck deep in this roster. Now, this is a recent startup and a completed rookie draft. That is correct.
Yes, it is.
25-man roster, super flex. So let's go to the quarterback room. You got Josh Stafford. I made like two people. You got Matt Stafford. You've got Drew Lock, Kyle Allen, Dwayne Haskins, Chase Daniel. Tell me, where'd you get these guys, and what do you like about them?
Out of my quarterback room, you know, as a Lions fan, you know, I got to stick with my boy Matthew, even though he was hurt last year. He's done me some good in redraft leagues, so I keep, you know, going back to the well on that one. Dwayne Haskins, he, you know, had potential last year, didn't do much, but looked halfway decent, but had to grab his backup. So just to be safe with, Ron Rivera and the OC coming in, you know, sort of having hit their boy there and everything. So figure I'd keep him. Then Drew Lock might as well try to ride that way that he created towards the end of the season last year. So that's where I'm sitting right now. And then Chase Daniels, Matthew Stafford is coming off a back injury, so might as well be safe with him there too.
Yeah, initially I had forgotten that Chase was no longer a Bear, that Nick Foles is the backup in Chicago, and I like that. I just, you know, when I was reading over your roster, it took me a minute to put two and two together, but that's a great pickup. I'm like, why does he have Chase Daniels? He doesn't have Mitch Trubisky. And then I realized after doing another podcast for the Dynasty Warzone that Daniel is the backup. That's a great call. Matthew Stafford last year, for those that don't know, he played eight games, and in eight games, he had 19 touchdowns and 2,500 yards passing. Now, if you just double that, that would be 38 touchdowns and 5,000 yards passing. Now, I hate extrapolations like that, but I think he's a steal, and to have a little insurance there with Daniel is a nice touch. Drew Lock, let's get into him. Are you excited for him with all those weapons they got him out there in Denver?
Yeah, I really am really excited for him. I'm hoping he's able to sling the ball around the field and put big numbers this year.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that I'm a little down on the offense, because they were 27th overall in total plays last year, and they didn't score a bunch. But one thing that I really like is the addition of Pat Shurmur as the offensive coordinator. Daniel Jones last year in New York with Pat, you know, he had a much better rookie season than people anticipated. And you can go back to, I think it was 2017 or 16. It was the year of the Minnesota Miracle where Case Keenum hit that touchdown to Stephon Diggs. The offensive coordinator on that team was Pat Shurmur. Pat Shurmur and Case Keenum, he made him a thing. He helped Daniel Jones. And this is the right offensive coordinator to help Drew Lock in his first full season as a starter. I think you got some nice weapons here at the quarterback position. What do you think about this Washington, this passing situation? I see you got Haskins. I see you got Kyle Allen. So you've hedged and got both of them. But do you see this as a long-term QB3 situation?
No, like you and me were talking, you know, before the show and everything. They could, you know, not like either one of them end the day and possibly, you know, tank for Fields or I can't remember the R quarterback right now.
Trevor Lawrence. But, tank for Trevor.
Trevor Lawrence, yeah. So, you know, but I figure for this season, as a good option three for a bye week, having whoever's a starter that week would be, you know, nice to have.
Nope. That's spot on. And I will just talk about the situation in Washington for just a minute. I like Kyle Allen. And remember, they could have given up the same mid-round pick and got Cam Newton, but they wanted Kyle Allen. I think there's something there. I've always jokingly said that if your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or whatever, if they go out and their ex is in town and they invite him out to dinner, you got problems. Maybe not. I don't know. But I know that they brought Kyle Allen into town, and I think Dwayne Haskins has got problems. So it's good that you have both because you can squeeze your QB3 should someone get injured or whatever. So I think you're solid at the QB. And you can look to maybe add another QB in 2021, either via free agency or the draft or a trade. Running backs, man, you got Zeke. I'm assuming Zeke was your first overall selection.
Yes, it was.
I figured. And then you've obviously been through your rookie draft because you've got Cam Akers. You've got Adrian Peterson, who is like Frank Gore Jr. You know, Frank Gore's like, I'm going to play till I'm 40, and AP is like, I'm going to play till I'm 41. Hey, but that's cool. It gives you like an RB3-4. Emergency flex type as long as he's on the roster. Marlon Mack, we'll get into him more in a second. John Kelly, and you've got a guy named Jason Huntley who was drafted by the Lions. And then you got Tony Pollard. Now, Tony Pollard is very key because you have Zeke. Now, Zeke has never missed a game due to injury. He's missed two games in his career, his rookie year and third year. He sat out the last game of the season because the Cowboys were going to the playoffs. And then he missed those six games when he was suspended. But outside of that, Zeke has never missed a game. He averages about 95 yards a game in his career. He's got 5,400 career rushing yards, and he's played 56 career games. Steady and solid as they come, but when you play one of the most violent positions in the game, I would say linebacker is the other, and you're bound to get injured, and he's got the knucklehead factor off the field. It's good that you've got a hedge there. What'd you think about Akers? You said you got him really late, which I was really impressed. You said you got him at the 201 in your rookie draft?
Yeah, I did. He just fell to me, and I have a 201 from a trade I did in the startup draft, probably moving back if I remember right. So, yeah, he just fell to me because I got Jalen Reagor when we get to wide receiver. I was going to talk about him, but I got him with the 108, so having those two sort of fell to me, it was sort of nice in the rookie.
Yeah, 100%, because these are the two rookies at the positions that will contribute very much right away. Now, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be the running back that contributes the most as a rookie, but I think Cam could easily be the second most, even more than Taylor. Now, as a rookie, now long-term dynasty, Cam's around my RB4 or 5 in this class. But for short term, for 2020, man, there's going to be a lot of work for him in L.A. Let's talk about Marlon Mack. So it's been theorized that it's going to be Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor splitting the Melvin Gordon role, and Nyheim Hines is going to take the Austin Eckler role. And I say that because Phil Rivers comes from the Chargers, as does current offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni. But I don't buy that. You and I were talking before I hit the record button that it's been said that Marlon Mack is actually going to be the one playing the Austin Eckler role and Jonathan Taylor is going to play the Melvin Gordon role. How exciting would that be if that was accurate information?
If that was accurate information, I'd see myself having good three running backs and then hopefully going for a championship.
Absolutely, and I could tell that your co-pilot there is very excited about Marlon Mack playing that Austin Eckler role. Now, I think that makes sense. Marlon Mack was never seen when he came out as a rookie as a featured back in the NFL. He is going to be a great complement in the passing game. And here's the thing. The Colts had, I believe it was 480 rush attempts last year, 470, 480 in that range. It was in the top 10 in the league. That's more than enough to go around. That's easily 200 to 250 for Jonathan Taylor. That's 150 to 200 for Marlon Mack and 70-ish for Nyheim Hines. That's perfect. There are no losers in that scenario except Nyheim Hines. I hope Nyheim Hines, as a Colts fan myself personally, I hope he finds the bench. So I think you've got a good three. Now, I kind of skipped past the fact that this league starts 10. They have the super flex, so you start two quarterbacks, you're going to start one tight end, and then at least two running backs, and at least two wide receivers, and then three overall flex. So you'll be playing a lot of matchups. Let's hit your tight ends real quick. You got one of my personal favorites. If maybe you can practice medicine and keep this guy healthy, Evan Ingram. When he's healthy, man, he's legit. He's in that tier right below the Kittle, Kelsey, Andrews, Ertz range. He's prime. You know, Jason Garrett, the new OC there in New York, is going to do good things with this offense, I think. So I know that sounds crazy. But for those that don't know, in his 13 years in Dallas as either the OC or the head coach, that offense finished in the top half of the league in offense 7 times. So more often than not, Jason Garrett called a good offense. I know we make fun of the clapper, but I'm going to be sad when he's not like out on the field like clapping. He's actually in the booth clapping it. Not what I'm looking for. Former Colt and Lion Eric Ebron, and then a guy that had a tight end one season last year, Dallas Goedert. Man, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good tight end room. I don't think you need to do too much there.
No, I don't think so either. You know, those three seem pretty solid and seem solid for at least a couple years if Ingram stays healthy. And when Ertz retires, you know, we got his, you know, heir apparent there, so I could be set. You know, two possible top 12 tight ends here for the next couple years.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And here's the thing. Ertz doesn't have to retire for Goddard to have value. Even when they were both on the field, again, the Eagles are one of the teams that runs more 12, or that's two wide receiver sets. They use a lot of two tight end sets, and you're starting to see more teams do that. Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah were covering this on their podcast, Move the Sticks. And they talked about how that was very in vogue conversation at Indy during the combine. And it will be the offensive flavor of the year, in their opinion. Now, 2 years ago in 2018, it was what they call 11 personnel. And for those that don't know wide receiver formations, that basically means three wide receivers, one tight end, and one running back. And then obviously your offensive lineman and your quarterback. But I think this year you're going to see a lot more. And that's why you see teams, you know, picking up additional tight ends like the New Orleans Saints. They already had Jared Cook. Now, he's a little bit older, but they drafted Adam Trautman. The Rams, they ran a lot of 12 personnel down the back half of last season. They already had Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. And then in the fourth round, I think it was the fourth round, they drafted Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue. The Broncos, your quarterback's team, they brought in his college tight end. They brought in Albert O. They brought him in to be on the field in some packages with Noah Fant. So you're going to see a lot more two tight ends. So Goddard is a great just-in-case-of-emergency break glass. So you're not sweating Goddard, right?
No, not one bit.
Have you got any trade offers on him at all?
No, I haven't yet. I've sort of been surprised because there's some teams in the league that, like, their wide receiver one is I can't remember. There's been some couple guys in the league that don't really have much as a tight end with being tight end premium and everything.
Yeah, he would be a guy that I would dangle out there on the block. You know, I don't believe in the trade bait feature, although some people like it. I was asking you, are you looking to move Goddard out there in your league?
For the right price, anyone's for sale.
Okay. Well, the reason why I ask is that he continues to be a very buzzworthy name at the tight end premium position, and everybody just assumes that Ertz is going to just go away. And maybe he will due to the amount of money that he makes and the Eagles' presumed cap situation. But he is someone that in tight end premium, if someone made a solid offer, especially for a running back, the problem is that you've only got three tight ends, and I don't think you can really afford to carry four because of you would either have to have a better backup than Ebron or a more stable tight end one than Ingram. Now, I love Ingram, but his injury history is going to cause you some headaches.
Oh, yes, it will.
All right, let's jump into the meat and potatoes of this roster. Let's get to these wide receivers. You got another line. You got that Matthew Stafford to Kenny Galladay connection. That's okay. I love Kenny Galladay. Finished as the wide receiver 11 last year in full point PPR. Then you have a guy who was super high on draft boards this time last year, and that was Juju Smith-Schuster. Had a bit of a down year, fought some injuries, fought the Duck Hodges, fought the Mason Rudolph. Wasn't the best for his 2019 or his dynasty value, but I think someone who is an absolute buy. Then you got Mike Williams. We'll get into Mike Williams in just a second. You have a guy who's my wide receiver one. Where did you manage to acquire Jalen Reagor?
I ended up getting him in like the 108, I believe, in my rookie draft.
Okay. I've seen him go around there a lot. So the 108?
Yep, I believe so.
Okay. And then you got another young guy that I really like, and that's N'Keal Harry. You and I were talking about this before we hit the record button, and N'Keal was working, at least in practice, in my opinion, he was working with the second team in the offense, and I think he was getting a lot of reps with a certain quarterback. I think we both know his name. It's Jarrett Stidham. And now Jarrett Stidham is going to be his starter. And I think there could be a little bit of a rapport there. I think they know each other. I think that'll help. And I think he'll be a guy who can contribute to you this year. Now, if this was a best ball, I would say Sammy Watkins could have some impact. But let's be honest, his best days are not coming anytime soon. A guy that I'm intrigued by, and I'm really glad you got him as a back-end roster stash, Josh Reynolds from the Rams. I think he'll be their third wide receiver in three wide receiver sets, something they ran a lot of 2 years ago, and they started the year in last year. So really curious to see what his role is with Brandon Cooks out in Houston. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, known locally as MVS of the Packers. Don't know what he's going to turn into. He kind of turned back into a frog after his year as a prince up there in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Golden Tate, solid PPR guy. Donovan Peoples-Jones and Cephas, also from the Lions. A couple of young guys just taking some gambles. So when you sent me your roster, you had starters of the wide receivers of Kenny Galladay, Juju, Mike Williams, Reagor, and Harry. Is that something that you foresee a lot of?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I could see this because, I mean, you get into your second-level players, and you were drafting, obviously, with some guys who knew what they were doing. And these are only 25-man rosters. Now, you do have a taxi squad in this, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I think I had, what, three or five spots, something like that?
Five.
All right. So what I'm going to do is you're going to get me access to your waiver wire. And once your league runs waivers, now, are waivers active in this particular league?
Yes, they are.
And do does it have to be rookies on the taxi, or can it be rookie and second year guys?
Rookie and second year guys.
Perfect. So here's a move that I like to do a lot. I'm doing this currently in a startup. The waivers will actually run as we're recording this. I'm kind of excited to see who I'll get. I like to draft young, not too young. I like to have a shot at competing the first year. That's a thing that I like to do. But then after my rookie draft, I like to take all my young guys, even the good ones. Like in this case, I would take your league, and I would put, because when I looked at your roster, with the exception of Jason Huntley, your taxi was empty. So I would immediately move guys like Cam Akers, like Jalen Reagor, like N'Keal Harry, Donovan Peoples-Jones or Cephas. I would just make sure my taxi was full. Then, and actually the move is to put Akers and Reagor's there and Harry and one other player that you think you'll use this year. You take them down, create roster space on your team. Go into the waivers. We'll do this together after we record. I'll throw some names. There's the Calais guy who's in Tampa Bay that I like. There's Michael Warren, who's a running back in Philadelphia that I'm a fan of. I liked him pre-draft. He was a UDFA. There's a handful of guys like that. There's a Jeff Thomas, the wide receiver in New England. I'll give you a whole list. I'll direct message those to you. I would cut John Kelly, although you think you had someone who would trade you a little something for John Kelly?
Yeah, I got an offer right after the rookie draft for a fourth round draft pick for him.
Okay. I would come back with John Kelly in your fourth, because you said you had all your picks in 2021. I would offer Kelly in your fourth for their third. The odds just go up in your favor. You got a much better chance of getting a productive player in the third, especially in a tight end premium and in a super flex, than you ever will the fourth. So I would try that. But if he's like, no, a fourth is what I'm paying, take it. There was an old song that said, take the money and run. Take it and run. I'd love to squeeze a third out of him, but if you can't, take that fourth, move on down the road. It's going to free up roster space for someone who's got a better chance of hitting for you. So again, I would move those young year one and year two guys, Rager, Akers, Harry, and probably Cephas, down to your taxi. You and I will go over your waiver wires. We'll get some bids in. We'll get guys that we think that we like. Then once you get your roster filled, because we're in no hurry. It's May. You don't have to set a lineup until September, hopefully. And so you just go through your waiver process. Once you get guys that you like, that are some high upside, you know, long shots, but gambles that you like with a little bit of odds in your favor, then once they're on your roster, then you just flip them. You bring back up Akers. You bring back up Rager and Harry and whoever else. You bring them up and put the long shot gamble guys down there and just let them sit. And if they turn into anything and you feel like using them or trading them, you can do that in season. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Never thought about doing that before.
That is a classic Memphis move. I did that in the Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League. I did that in this most recent startup that I did. And I just, because that's what your taxi squad's supposed to be. Too often, it's just a bunch of, you know, guys that never hit and we hang on too long. With the guys that you're going to get off of waivers, even in a roster size of 25 man, if they don't hit in a year, man, just let them go. If you didn't see flashes, just let them go and then repeat the process next year. Eventually, you know, if one of the five hit and turn it into anything usable or sellable for draft picks in the future, you're doing it right. You're just giving yourself a better chance of building some equity. So some things we're talking about doing with this roster, we're looking to get you another solid running back, because beyond Zeke and Akers and Mack, that's really it, man. And that's we agree that's not enough.
Oh no, it's definitely not enough. I know that much. If I want a championship, I definitely need to bump up that running back room.
Exactly, because you know, rookies, even running backs, as good as Akers, and I know he ran behind. Stop me if you've heard this before, by the way. If even though a guy like him who's ran behind bad offensive lines, he can still get hurt. And you want a little bit more depth. And since your depth's at the running back position, we talked about potentially trading Juju or Mike Williams. Now, we would prefer to move Mike Williams, but he's going to be harder to sell, right?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. From what you and me were talking about, he's definitely going to be the harder of two to move.
Absolutely. Now, Mike Williams, I love Mike Williams. He was a guy that had 10 touchdowns in his sophomore season, which was really kind of his rookie season. He basically redshirted his rookie year due to some injury issues. But man, he came out and he had 10 TDs in his sophomore campaign. Now, last year, everybody was really high on Mike Williams, and he regressed big time in the TD department. He went from 10 to 2, but his receiving yards went from 600 and change to just over 1,000 on only 6 more receptions. The guy averaged 20 yards a catch, not 20 yards a target, 20 yards a catch. That's something interesting. And we liked Phil Rivers because he wasn't afraid to push the ball down the field. But Justin Herbert is a big-armed quarterback. And with an improved offensive line, now you're probably thinking, now Memphis, what does an improved offensive line, how does that help Mike Williams? Well, if Justin Herbert has a little bit more time to throw, that allows those longer, deeper down the field routes to develop for Mike Williams. And Mike Williams is a big playmaker. So I like him. I think you have to sell him. And the other guy we talked about trying to sell is Juju. I think people will try to lowball you. You're prepared to fend off the guys who are trying to get Juju on the cheap, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know that. He's, even though he had a bad year last year, I know he's still worth at least, like you and me were talking about, the trade calc there, you know, 103, 104 in rookie, or, you know, equal to like a Miles Sanders type player, you know?
You said it perfectly. And that's another thing that you can do with a trade calculator. If you're not a comfortable trader, just find you one. Like I said, I use the Dynasty Trade Calculator. I just throw it in there. I want a reference point. It's not like going into a store. It's not like going to buy a pair of sneakers and saying, okay, it's $99.99 with tax. Okay, here's how much it's going to cost me. That's not what you do with a trade calculator. You're looking to get in the ballpark. You know, you don't want to be way out in the parking lot and thinking you're going to be on the 50-yard line. You just want to be, you want to be in the ballpark. You want to be in the field of play. And some guys in that Juju range that we were looking at, you'd maybe have to add a little bit to get a Nick Chubb. Although, if you can find a Nick Chubb owner who's a little worried about the role of Kareem Hunt, maybe Nick Chubb would be someone that, again, you would have to add to. And I'd be willing to add up to my 2021 second. I wouldn't give my first. I just wouldn't do it. Couldn't bring myself to do it. It's not going to happen. But those are the kind of guys that I would be looking for. I think Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs are great targets. Fellow rookies, Jonathan Taylor. I don't think J.K. Dobbins is going to help you in a win-now situation. I think J.K. Dobbins is a fantastic long-term play. Same with DeAndre Swift. But I don't think you'll get Edwards-Helaire for Juju. But those are the kind of guys. Those would be my first three targets if I'm going to move Juju. Would be Josh Jacobs, would be Miles Sanders, and would be JT. Do you think the owners of those the three running backs would at least engage in conversation?
I know at least the Josh Jacob owner, me and him had a lot of trades back and forth when the startup happened, so I know he would be open to doing some more trades most likely.
A great tip on moving a player with, I don't want to say warts, because I still like Juju. You have to pump up their pros without pretending like their downside never happened. That's something that insults a fellow owner's intelligence. It's like, yeah, you know, I know Juju only had 550 yards receiving last year. I know he only had 70 targets, but I also know that he didn't have Big Ben for the majority of the season. I also know that the last time he played a full season with Big Ben, he had 166 targets and 111 receptions for 1,400 yards. I know that his first 2 years in the league, he had 7 TDs, and I know this time last year, he was a round 2 startup pick. So you're taking a shot on a guy who's really young. I think Juju's something like 22, 23. Actually, he'll be 24. He'll be 24 in November, and this guy is the kind of guy that I would look to move, and you would feel comfortable moving him. You would feel comfortable enough making that move to move Juju with Rager and Mike Williams as your 2 and your 3.
Yeah, I would. I think those are, you know, a good solid 2 and 3, and then the rest of my depth there, you know, I could feel really comfortable with that.
I would agree. I would agree. I think you could get games out of guys like Golden Tate. Golden Tate's not the wide back end wide receiver 1, high end wide receiver 2. He was a few years ago. But this is a guy, and I like this in a lot of teams. With this whole COVID-19 and teams doing Zoom meetings and just starting to resume actual interaction, Golden Tate worked with Daniel Jones last year, and it seems like a small thing, but I think it's a big thing. That's why I think N'Keal Harry could have a good season. So I think you'll definitely be starting 3-ish, maybe 4 running backs if you get one in a trade. And I think you'll be playing a lot of matchups. I think every week you'll be playing Zeke and Akers at the running back position and Mac more often than not. And then at the wide receiver position, you'll always be playing Galladay, Juju if you keep him, and Rager. And then I think you're always going to be looking at matchups for the Golden Tate, you know, Harry, you know, see what Josh Reynolds does. I think you'll have a better feel for your starters as you get into the midseason.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was looking at earlier today when I started thinking about doing this whole entire conversation with you. I started looking, you know, who would be my, you know, 3rd and 4th receiver, you know, who would be playing on bye weeks and stuff like that. And I figured, you know, I really won't know any answers until, you know, people start playing, you know.
Yeah, but I think overall, man, I would give this thing this draft a solid B. And the fact that you came out of it with some really, I'm a big fan of building around wide receivers. I know you listen to the War Zone, as again, you're one of our Patreons. You hit it out of the park with a philosophy and a build strategy that I love. I call it 1-1-2-1. And what does that mean? In a super flex, it means you got to get one stud quarterback, one stud running back, two stud wide receivers, and a stud tight end. And you nailed that. You came out of that in spades. And the deeper your starting lineup, the more you have to have around them. So I love Stafford as your one. I know a lot of people would, you know, be like, he's 32, but you did a great job hedging with Chase Daniel. Zeke's as solid as they come. On the Wednesday edition of the Dynasty Warzone, we did six guys that we're not trading ever, and maybe not ever, but at least not in the immediate future. And Zeke was one of my co-host Jerry's three guys. And his rationale was, is he's a consistent producer, and he always shows up to play if he's not suspended or there's a playoff game on the line. And I love it. Kenny Golladay, I think the best is yet to come for this guy. I think 2020 is going to be his year. I think your man Stafford stays healthy. And in a contract year, I love guys in contract years on a side note. Just absolutely love them. It's more of a redraft mindset than a dynasty. But that makes it all the better. Juju, also in a contract year. And he's got Big Ben back. Mike Williams will probably get his fifth-year option picked up, so we'll be talking about that. Love Rager. Little side note, you and I were talking, again, this came from some other research from either pod, but did you know that Philadelphia was one of only three teams to be top 10 in both rush attempts and top 10 in pass attempts?
Yeah, only reason I can say yes is because I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and I heard them talking about, I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but
it was probably the Dynasty Warzone, because we talked about it over there.
Oh, okay. So, yep. That's the only reason I have ever even heard that.
Well, the other two, by the way, for the inquiry minds want to know, is N'Keal Harry's New England Patriots, which could be really good for him, and the Dallas Cowboys. So you are immersed in all those teams. You got Goddard and Rager, Harry, Zeke. I love it, man. Cam Akers, his team ran a lot of pass plays and a lot of rush plays. So you're certainly going to get a lot of mileage. I love the offenses. So you don't have a lot of those teams like the Jets, like the Dolphins. Now, the Steelers last year were really down, but it's a bit of misleading, because without Big Ben and as good as that defense was, what else did you expect Tomlin and Randy Fittner to do? Fittner being the offensive coordinator. You have to kind of play defense and try to minimize the exposure of the Duck and Mason Rudolph. So overall, man, I like your roster. I don't think you need to do it now. Remember, we don't have games for about just under 4 months. I wouldn't do anything crazy. I'd get that John Kelly move done. I would get all these better rookie and second-year guys into that taxi so that you could run the waiver wire and get those guys on your roster and then do the flip. Then start talking trades, man. Start getting out there. I wouldn't do it now, as you kind of want to get the flavor of the season, but I would start getting those conversations for Juju going. I think that's the one big move, the one big trade you can do. And if someone wants to talk to you about Goddard, I would have my ears on. I'd be listening. I got a couple of tight ends for you. I'm going to have you pick up when you make room on that taxi squad. You ready for him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'm definitely ready for him.
You know, Hunter Bryant, now with Cleveland. A lot of people love him. There's Thaddeus Moss. I don't know if he got drafted, but as of right now, I mean, it's him and Jeremy Sprinkle and Logan Thomas at the tight end position in Washington. And I know people are down on Washington. It was one of the lower volume offenses in the league last year, which is true. But now their new offensive coordinator, Scott Turner, comes from Carolina, who had one of the highest volume passing games in the league. And Scott Turner was the guy that fed all those targets to Christian McCaffrey, to DJ Moore. He's going to be good for this offense. So I think Thaddeus Moss as a move tight end, as a receiving tight end, he's a sneaky one to grab. Man, we're going to get this thing fixed up off the waiver wire. One thing I got to do a better job of as the host of The Contractor is getting you guys to give me access to both your rookie picks because I had to get those from you late. Don't be in a hurry to move rookie picks. Now, if you can get some rookie picks, did you know right now is a great time to do that?
No, I did not know it was a great time for that.
Sure.
Are they on sale?
I thought so, man. I picked up two in one league just maybe 2 days ago because they only get worth more the closer we get. So, you know, that might be a move. I don't know that I would move mine. Again, I like where you're at. I think the two big moves, three moves. I'm going to leave you with this. Get that taxi moves done. Get that John Kelly move done. And then see what you can get for Juju or Mike Williams. Those would be the big three moves that I think you can do in the short term between now and the start of the season that might pay off the most dividends. What do you think?
I agree. Actually, earlier this week, I was looking at taxi squad already. I didn't check if Thaddeus Moss was out there, which I should have already known that because you and me have already talked to him in the past in the Patreon chat. But I didn't even think about moving the guys I want to keep down to my taxi and adding the players and doing a flip-flop. So that's definitely something because I've already found guys I want to add, but I just didn't know how to add them without dropping what talent I already did have.
Nope. It's you ever been to New York City?
No, I have not.
You ever seen those guys that do like what they call three card Monty, where they're moving the card around and you got to guess where the queen is?
Oh, yeah.
This is the dynasty version of that. You know, you just move them around until you get them where you want them, and then you walk away with all the winnings. That's how this works. So, those are my big three moves, man. What else can I do for you here on the contractor? You're co-hosting the car, man. He's ready to get eaten.
I think that's, you know, you've helped me out tons. You've opened my, you know, eyes to a few new ideas. You know, you've pointed me toward the right type of players to add and what type of players to look for. So I appreciate everything you've done for me.
No, man, I appreciate you wanting to be on the contractor and I appreciate you making time. So I don't want to put too much of what you do out there, but this man is a hardworking guy. He's been putting in 10 and, you know, 12 and 14 hour days and he's trying to be a dad, as you can tell, but this is the dedication that he has to his dynasty roster. You know, he's like, I got to make a half hour. I got to make 45 minutes to talk to Memphis because, you know, we're out here chasing championships. So, no, man, I'm going to let you get back to being a dad, let you get some sleep so you can go back and make that money to invest it back into the dynasty community. But I appreciate you, man. Anything else?
No, I just hopefully I don't have to donate too much money to you over the next couple of years playing against you.
Well, that's just fine. That's what we call an investment in you. But in all sincerity, I appreciate you, brother. And on behalf of Justin, I am Memphis, and here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, we are just trying to make the world a better place for Dynasty Fantasy Football. We'll see you back here next week for a new episode of The Contractor.
Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago. And never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.